Some really good news out today for the territory seafood industry, with the coastal line fishery getting export approval from the federal government. We're joined this afternoon by fisherman Cam Druitt. How are you this afternoon, Cam?
G'day, Matt. Good, thank you.
Now, this is big news. Export accreditation. You did a lot of work behind the scenes to get this happening. Tell us about all the work you did.
Well, look, first of all, it's a team effort. It's not one guy that kicks all the goals. He's got the midfield as well. And 50% of it should go to Blake Taylor, our aquatic manager, our Northern Territory fisheries manager. And he's provided a lot of data to the Commonwealth Agency, Department of Energy and Environment. And I've also had tremendous support from Seafood Council and my own association, the Coastal Line Fishermen's Association. And they held a snap meeting and unanimous support in order that everyone was happy with the process that was going ahead.
Is it easy to explain what's involved in getting export accreditation?
Well, export accreditation is approval to get a wildlife trade operation. Up until now, really no part of the fishery could be sent overseas. And that approval is required under the Environmental Protection and Biodiversity Act of 1999. It's been in place for that long, and the several amendments to it. And it's an enforcement. It's to make sure that we don't check that our fisheries are in good condition, not just fisheries, but anything that's taken from the land is in good condition. And we're not exploiting wildlife or damaging the environment that they come from. So there's a lot of ticks and a large process to go through. I was told originally it could take 2 or 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Consultation fees were around $150,000 plus, and you need an army of experts. And I rang someone in the Commonwealth Agency, and he said, "Well, look, I'll help you through it." So I went through 5 people over a period of about 14 months. Officially, the process took about 9-10 months, but it's actually 14 months.
Right.
And then towards the end, when things cranked up a bit, Blake Taylor, our fisheries manager, stepped in and provided a lot of data.
Now, just quickly, Cam, we'll have some listeners who won't know what the coastal line fishery is. I mean, where is it? What sort of fish are we talking about?
0 to 15 nautical miles, no mud crab, no Spanish mackerel. It's really the reef fish, no barramundi, no threadfin salmon. The fishery came into effect in 1992. I did a desktop study, and in 94, about 25 years ago, I bought a fishery license. And I leased it to a bloke called Grant Rubock. And he's still a mate of mine today, 25 years later. He's the chairman of our association, and we're still working together, and we're still chasing that dream. And that dream's getting closer and closer. So it hasn't happened overnight.
Mm.
And I've made some very good friends in the fishery. And we all have the same values. We want to preserve this fishery. Anyway.
Yeah, so we're talking like species like what? Snapper, jewfish?
Snapper. Jewfish, yep. any reef fish, demersal. It's the inshore demersal fishery, for want of a better word.
What export markets do you have in mind, Cam?
Primarily China and through Southeast Asia. Live fish is what attracted me to the... My dream was to get into live fish. I could see back in the early 90s, they said China middle class demand, an insatiable demand for live seafood will drive up the price, and the dream was to get a high value, low volume, sustainable fishery, and I identified that the Northern Territory was the place to do it because they're having all sorts of problems in Queensland, so NWA, and it hasn't quite evolved that way. It's the product that is of great value is the fish maul or the airbag and the fish.
Right, which some of our listeners will be familiar with because of all the stories over the years about the black market trade into the bladders, yes?
Matt, the black market is very serious.
Yep.
This fish has been decimated through Asia. There is no real fishery in WA. There is no real fishery in Queensland. Their limit now is 20 tonne. It's my belief, my own personal belief, that unless enforcement is increased dramatically, we will lose this fishery to the crooks, to the black market, and to the criminals that have destroyed it all through the rest of the world. It is a high value product, and I think it's only with strong enforcement, which is lacking at the moment, to be honest with you, that if we're not careful, we'll end up losing the whole lot, and then everyone loses.
Hmm.
So there is a lot more work to do.
Now that you've got this accreditation, when are you expecting the first reef fish to be sent off to an overseas market?
I think it would be fairly soon. The guys are organising things at the moment. There's a trade delegation coming to town on the 22nd, I think, 22nd of this month, and that's quite exciting. So I would think it would be fairly soon, but I just hope that it proceeds in an orderly manner. And as I said, the people with the... It's a limited entry fishery. There are restrictions placed. We're in the middle of a harvest strategy. I just hope things proceed in an orderly manner, and particularly the black jewfish stocks are protected from the black market.
Mm.
Because if they're not, the fishery will collapse, and then you're left with nothing.
The fish bound for export, will it be, what, processed in Darwin and exported from Darwin? Is that the plan?
That's my dream, and the dream and aspirations of people in our fishery that will bring benefit to the NT. And there'll be onshore processing and fresh fish on ice available for the tourism market. And one thing that's come out of this big fight in WA over the rock lobster is the need for social licence. Catherine Winchester, our CEO, has been pushing this for 12 months. We need social licence. Social licence is community acceptance of business practices. And our business practices need to be in line with that, where look, professional fishermen are never going to be the number one popular choice. Well, haven't been, but we can do a lot towards amending that and be seen to be supporting the local community and not raping and pillaging the ocean at all. No, we are custodians. I know this sounds like I'm reading from a script. This is how I feel.
Yeah.
And I know this is how Grant Rubock, our chairman, feels, and many other people in our association.
If all of a sudden the price of these fish is huge over in China and you start exporting lots, are there going to be enough fish on the market for domestic consumers?
Yeah, there will be. The product, the airbag or the fish ball, isn't really consumed locally. The fresh fish on ice would be still available in the community and would be there to support the tourism market. And if it could be shown that the fish ball could be processed in Darwin and sold to Chinese to support some sort of tourism venture, I think we would go down that path. I mean, I can't speak on behalf of everybody else, but I'm quite conscious of the fact that sending everything overseas and not leaving anything for the domestic market isn't good for social life.
So you got into this game, what, 23-odd years ago? How are you feeling about its future?
Oh, look, I'm thrilled. It's wonderful when your dreams come true, and also you've... the friends and the friendships and business acquaintances that I've made in the NT, and that's come true as well for them. So, and the shared dreams and aspirations, and we're still on the journey, but it is very exciting. It's the most exciting thing that's happened to me in my life.